You have a plan for your business and a vision for its future. So it's important to have a banking partner that works to understand all of your goals and what it will take to help you reach them. Work with a banker who is dedicated to listening first and providing insightful, personalized advice that's right for you and your business. Work with Bremer Bank, because understanding is everything. Put us to work for you today at bremer.com.
The best healthcare is there in ways big and small. There when we most and least expect it. We may not see it, but we feel it. It lets us know we're not in this alone. Everyone deserves a healthcare partner who never quits. One who's there for what matters. United Healthcare. There for what matters.
It's Not Your Fault is a podcast for parents, caregivers, and young people navigating the world and its challenges. Here's your host, Brandon Jones.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to another installment of It Is Not Your Fault, a teen mental health podcast. I am your host, Brandon Jones, and on today's episode, we're going to revisit a topic that we've covered a few times on the podcast, which is teen suicide rates. And a recent study came out about 2 weeks ago. It was published in Yahoo News that stated that suicide amongst U.S. adolescents and teens is rising steadily. And the article pointed out something that is extremely important for us to note and to remember and to put in the back of our heads. Since 1999 till 2020, right before the pandemic kicked off, there was a research study that identified that 47,000 young people between the ages of 10 and 19 years old lost their life due to suicide. That is a lot of people. That is a lot of young people who have lost their lives due to suicide. And those are the folks who actually had a successful attempt. Imagine how many youth did not have a successful attempt at suicide. That is alarming. Even more alarming is the increased rates of suicide attempts amongst young people. They highlighted two specific groups where they've seen the most increase over that time period of 20 years. The first group was girls. Adolescent girls have had an extreme increase in their attempts to have suicide. And then also they identified people of color, as they said in the article. But really, they were talking about Black folks. As you read through the article, they were looking at one specific group that has had a pretty stark increase in suicide. This is very, very serious. And the article didn't go into details to why this is happening. The article decided to just give us some of the stats and leave it up to the reader to determine what some of the issues or concerns may be. So, of course, as someone who dives into these topics and tries to find solutions and strategies as much as possible, I decided to look at a few other articles that came out around that time in response to this article. And people were starting to identify social media as one of the causes. Some people identified that teens are not socializing the same anymore, and then they transitioned that into the pandemic. But as I've said on previous episodes, we can't continue to blame the pandemic on everything. This was a 20-year run before the pandemic even happened of our young people in this space of what is going on. And as I was doing my research on this research article, I decided it made me think of three African proverbs. One of them comes from the Maasai warriors, who they would typically use this greeting to engage with one another, and they would say, "How are the children?" And in response, warriors or people from various different villages and things of that nature, they would respond by saying, "The children are well." And this was a way for them to communicate that there was peace amongst the lands, there's prosperity to come, there was faith, there was hope, there were all these things that were in place. And they would ask, "How are the children?" Now, this is the warrior class of this particular ethnicity on the continent of Africa. They were asked, "How are the children?" And the answer would be, "The children are well." And then that made me think of another African proverb of children are the reward of life. So this is I believe this one comes out of various different tribes that speak Swahili, because this is a Swahili translation of children are the reward of life. And when you think about it, if you are a parent, a caregiver, if you have your own children or even grandchildren, you have those feelings when you have children. This is a reward of life. These are our fruits of our labors. This is what many of us feel that we were put on this earth to do, which is to birth children and to continue the life cycle as much as possible. And then there was another proverb from the continent of Africa that I wanted to highlight, which is, it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise a child. Now, we hear that one all the time. I believe that's like the visionary statement for the United Negro College Fund, is it takes a village to raise a child. Because we've heard this. We've heard this over the years, and many people agree with that. And a lot of times, I usually hear that statement made when we have tragedies happen within various different communities, like, you know, school shootings or things of that nature. People say, well, we need the village to come together. The village is the strength and things of that nature. And I agree with that. But I think when I think of those proverbs and I think of this article, I think about the suicide issue. I think one of the things that many of us are scared to say professionally, scared to write in articles, scared to produce in books, is a truth that we all feel, but we don't necessarily like to say, because if you do say it, you will get attacked. People don't want to, they don't want to tell the truth. The truth is always difficult to digest, and that's just the reality of life. But one of the things that I will say the quiet part out loud, because I think we have to be able to tell the truth in order to deal with this problem and some of the other issues we have with our youth, is that parents have to take some accountability for what has happened with young people. We can't just say it was the pandemic. We can't just say it's social media. We also have to put parenting in the mix of what is the issue. We also have to look at, well, what has happened over the last 20 years? What has happened with parenting? We've changed the way that we parent our children. Our society has changed, and adults have adjusted to societal change. But we have 20 years of data that says that does not work. We need to do something different. And in the terms of Mike Tomlin, the legendary coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he goes, we do not care. That's how I feel when it comes to a lot of the issues that happens with a lot of children. A lot of folks just don't care. They're like, oh, that's awful. Yeah, suicide's on the rise, but those aren't my kids, so I'm going to move on. Do we still have to have this village mentality? And we have to see all children as our responsibility. I don't know if that starts from a neighborhood to neighborhood thing or school to school or how that begins, but we have to see all our children as our responsibility. And I think that's one of the biggest things that has shifted from when many of the Gen Xers and a lot of the older millennials, even older millennials, I think we were the generation that was impacted the most. We've been affected by is that we moved away from this community concept of raising children, and we've gone into this very individualistic raising of children, and it's not working. It's just not working. It's not clear, as we can see, especially when it comes to this issue of suicide. Now, some of the things I want to point out about this concern of suicide with teenagers is, although we see a spike with young girls and a spike in communities of color, mainly the African-American community, there is no economic barrier here. There's no data that states that poorer children commit suicide more than wealthier children. This is one of the issues that actually goes across class, which we don't see in many of our other issues and concerns. So this is important to understand that there is something going on with how we raise our children, no matter what your class or socioeconomic status is, which makes this, to me, makes this very unique, because that's often one of the things that we point out when we point at various different disparities, is that there's an economic factor that plays a role. But when it comes to suicide, that's not necessarily true. So what is it? What is going on with students? What is going on with young people where they're more suicidal? I think that we've grown up, well, we've allowed these children to develop in a space where they have access to so much information, which means that they can get good and bad information. And what I mean by bad information is things that can be harmful, things that make them judge themselves, things that may lower their self-esteem, things that make make them judge other people. That information's out there. And without building the character and parents being the core character builders of children, what ends up happening is our children are left for society to develop their character. And when your brain is not 100% developed, right? Your brain is still processing and growing. You will attach yourself to things that are unhealthy. And then in this 24/7 cycle of having access to data and information, that development can become very, very, very harmful if we are not combating it with life values, if we're not combating it with being able to think critically and have abstract thinking and being analytical. Those things are important. And those are usually things that we got from our parents, from our grandparents, from our aunts, our uncles, from the folks in the community. They would teach us those little life lessons, whether it was in sayings or something happened, and then they would give us the insight and the context for what took place. Or they would point out, don't do something, and as kids, we did it anyway. And then the outcome that they told us was going to happen happened, and we didn't think it was. And then we learned, oh, they were right, and we're left scratching our heads. Those things don't always happen anymore. And we have to figure out a way to meet the current level of society, but at the same time, push against some of the negative things that our kids are consuming. I've noticed a lot of parents have said, you know what, this technology thing, I don't get it. I'm putting my hands up. I give up. And I would like to encourage you not to give up so quickly. There is an opportunity for you to still reach the young people in your lives and lean into some of the technology that we have going on here. The technology is not going away. It's not going away. It is here to stay. And it can be a good tool to connect with young people, help them find information. But as adults, as caregivers, as parents, as youth workers, whatever your relationship is with young people, you have to lean in. And another key thing that I would add to leaning in, and what I mean by that is you have to understand youth culture today. And remember, it's not going to be like how you grew up. It's not even going to be like how kids grew up 5 years ago. Youth culture changes over time. And in our current state of youth culture, one of the things that is present is this comfortability with death. Suicide is very common. There's even what they call emo. There's like a personality type within a lot of youth culture today that, you know, if we would have heard some of the things that these kids listen to as music, how they dress, we would have thought they were clinically depressed maybe 15 years ago. But in today's world, they're not clinically depressed. Not, I would say some of them may be, but majority of them aren't. But it's a personality type. It's like this low energy, dark clothing, kind of slow moving kind of personality type. That's them. But if you don't know that, you may jump to a huge conclusion and think, oh, this child is obviously has some clinical depression. Something's going on. That, like, we have to be able to understand what youth are going through and how they're interacting so that we can communicate with them. Because honestly, I think if we're going to curb this, this rise in suicide, we have to reconnect with our children. That is the best strategy. And that looks different for different children. As a father of three girls, I know I have to communicate with all three of them very differently. Is it taxing? Yes. Is it annoying? Absolutely. Does it stress me out? Yes. But I know that's part of my parental duty is to connect with my kids based on who they are, how old they are, etc., in order for me to make sure that I'm assisting with their character development. I would like to think I have great kids. I've been given feedback that our kids are great. But I want to make sure that as they grow into young adults, that they maintain that as best as possible and that they never end up within this number of 47,000 people who decided to end their lives before their lives even got started. So just wanted to, I know this was a kind of a heavier podcast today, but I read this article and they didn't get to the core. And I'm just like, man, we have to start having this conversation. So I appreciate you all for listening. If I said something that connected with you, or even if you disagree, there's a couple ways that you can engage with me. The first way is to check out our Facebook page. All you have to do is search It Is Not Your Fault podcast, and there's a Facebook search, and you can find us there. You'll find the article I'll post it there. You'll find other articles that I've written, other folks have written, and other key resources. The other place you can find us is at my own website, where you can communicate with me directly. It is www.jegna.org. That's jegna.org. There's my consulting website. You know, typically people send questions and kudos and things there. Feel free to send me a message. I will respond back to you. And then the third place that you can check us out at is ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. That is ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com, where you can find myself and a whole fleet of other awesome podcasters to help you live a better life. And as always, be safe, be constructive, be well, and we'll see you on the next episode. Take care.
It's not just another day in your life. Things are changing for the better. At Comcast, we see those changes, and we're thinking about how we use technology today to live, work, learn, and play. And we're building for the future now, so we're better prepared for the wants and needs of tomorrow. That's why Comcast is rolling out multi-gig internet speeds to more than 50 million homes and businesses before the end of 2025, making our already industry-leading network even faster, smarter, greener, and more reliable. Over the decades, Comcast has been your partner, working hard to serve your community, and will continue to be your partner. We're expanding our gigabits so you can enjoy the tiny bits that matter most.
You know Shaletta makes you laugh, but did you know Shaletta Brundage can also make you think and boost your business? Media personality, activist, and comedian Shaletta Brundage founded Shaletta Makes Me Laugh to celebrate and share the best of Black culture. It's a podcasting platform. You can download 10 weekly podcasts hosted by African-American subject experts at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is also a production house creating broadcast-quality commercial content. And Shaletta and her team of storytellers create powerful promotional campaigns to get businesses the brand awareness they're looking for. Some of Minnesota's top businesses trust Shaletta, and you can too. Get out the word about your events and products and get in front of communities of color with ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. She's got the power to help your business.
If you're pregnant or recently delivered a baby, you're at greater risk for getting very sick from COVID-19 compared to the general population. Getting COVID-19 during pregnancy also puts you at an increased risk of having a preterm birth. That's why it's so important to protect yourself from getting COVID-19 at this time. The most important step is getting your updated COVID-19 vaccine. The vaccine is also strongly recommended if you're breastfeeding or considering pregnancy in the future. While you're pregnant, transmission of coronavirus to your child is unlikely, but a newborn could get COVID-19 after birth. Babies can get their own COVID-19 vaccine once they're 6 months of age. It's natural to have questions about COVID-19 during this important time. So talk to your trusted prenatal healthcare provider and then your baby's pediatrician. They'll be able to give you advice on the best steps to take to keep everyone in the family safe and healthy.
Are you a woman known as a good listener? Do you have skills in de-escalating situations? Are you what they call a people person? Then the Minneapolis Police Department would like to meet you. Now in a rebuilding phase, the Minneapolis Police Department is recruiting more women to wear the badge. The department offers career options for women with a high school diploma or GED. There are also opportunities for women with 2 and 4 year degrees who are ready to apply their skills in new ways. Police work makes a great second career for social workers, teachers, nurses. Women in their 30s and 40s are welcome to apply. There's no age cap. You'll be paid while you train and mentored by veteran women officers invested in your success. Minneapolis also welcomes current police officers to join the state's largest department. Make a difference on the streets, working in your community, in a career with competitive salaries and generous benefits. Go to MinneapolisMN.gov and search police jobs to find out more.
People say we're made up. Tall tales. Myths. Think what you want about us, but we can all be certain of this. Recycling is real, and it works. But what happens to your recycling once it leaves your home? Recycled glass is sorted in St. Paul. Then the clear glass is made into bottles for drinks, pickles, salad dressing, and more in Shakopee. At other facilities, plastic bottles get made into new plastic bottles. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling.
If you live in an older home, it may contain lead-based paint on walls, woodwork, and windows. Even more bad news, lead exposure can be dangerous to young children and impact their brain development. And now, the good news. Hennepin County will fix lead hazards in your home at no cost to you.
We were worried because of the paint in the windows in the bedroom. They were peeling and chipping, and we know that when paint peels and chips and it looks a certain way, that's possibly lead. We were worried for our children more so than anything.
Eligible homes can qualify for up to $15,000 in upgrades. You may even qualify for new energy-efficient windows. Don't worry. Hennepin County has a trusted list of pre-approved contractors. You won't even have to find companies with correct licenses or certifications.
I've just done a test and it's positive. So we know that this is lead-based paint, and we know it's a hazard because it's creating dust every time this window moves and opens. And if you look in here, that's just full of lead paint chips.
You won't have to stay with your cousin while you're getting the lead out. Hennepin County even pays for you and your family to stay in a hotel while the work is underway. The last good news is how easy it is to apply. Just go to hennepin.us/lead control to get started.
I'm really happy with the program. We can go to bed knowing that our children are safe.
That's hennepin.us/lead control. Tell your friends about it.
Are you getting older and feeling concerned about staying safely in your own home? Or maybe it's your folks you're worried about. I get it. It's not easy getting older, especially when the house is starting to show its age too. There is help available.
Individuals want to maintain and stay in their own homes for as long as they can. In Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we provide the opportunity, we provide the programs for them to do that.
Rebuilding Together Minnesota has been helping eligible older Minnesotans and those with disabilities stay safe and healthy for more than 20 years.
Our central AC unit was non-functional. We had plugged a portable unit into the living room. What ended up happening was our electrical outlet melted, and it was getting to be 90 degrees in here. Meyer was told about Rebuilding Together Minnesota by his daughter.
She said, "Well, Daddy, you need to sign up." I said, "Do I qualify?" She said, "Well, you're a disabled veteran, you qualify."
So we provided a new air conditioning unit for the homeowner and also new electrical service, all through this veterans program that we have.
Thanks to Tom and Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we're able to maybe go out and get a hamburger every now and then.
To find out if you qualify, go to rtmn.org. That's RTMN for Rebuilding Together Minnesota. Or if it's easier, call 651-776-4273 and tell your friends. Trust me, this is news they can use.